Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
We tried to meet our next guest at Folk Alliance in Montreal last year, but unfortunately, I got food poisoning. So we are very excited that we're getting to catch up with them now.
Yeah, no fun on the food poisoning, but this will be fun. They have a new album coming out this June.
Looking forward to seeing what they've been up to since then. Here's a little more about Avery Hellman, known as Ismay.
Avery Hellman has been a rancher, an alt-country musician, and always a dreamer. But they recently found themselves once more while looking for Lucinda Williams. In 2023, Hellman was hard at work on an album, podcast, and documentary, delving into the psyche of the country singer-songwriter when they discovered how much poetry played into Williams' general talents. That was a really big shift for me, Hellman says. I was like, well, why don't I learn how to write poetry? Add another job to that resume.
Coincidentally, Hellman had been invited to the National Cowboy Poetry Gathering in Nevada, where they presented a few early poems and opened the barn door. Creativity stampeded out, and with the help of co-writer and producer Sam Cohen, they penned their new record as alt-country project Ismay, Half Truth, out June 12, 2026, on Fossil Records. My intention with the album, especially given the fact that a lot of songs started as poems, wasn't to be perfect, they say. I wanted the words to be in the forefront, not smooth, but raw.
The result is an 11-song suite of wry yet lonesome tracks about rodeo horses, salvation, and finding yourself again and again. Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. Can you take a minute to tell us who you are and where you're coming to us from tonight?
Well, my name is Avery Hellman. I play under the name Ismay, and I'm coming to you from Northern California, Sierra Nevada Mountains.
Nice. That's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It ain't too shabby, I got to say.
Yay. And what is, I always have to ask, I'm curious, what is the weather like there right now?
Well, it changes a lot around here, high elevation. So, you know, could be cold or hot, but it's been pretty warm. But the cool thing about here is you get to see the mountains and snow-capped peaks, and it ain't too shabby. Like I said, it's a good place to live.
Yay!
I love it. We've been lucky this week too. We've had today. It's about 77 and sunny, so yep. We're in Omaha, Nebraska,
and not
get some ugly weather here.
Yeah,
yeah. It's 90 on Friday. So yeah, I'm enjoying it while we can.
We'll
go back. Who knows? But well, we'll get started talking to you about music.
Yes.
How did you get started in the career of music? We know you have an interesting backstory, so we're excited to hear you tell it.
Yeah, well, I got my start. I was sort of interested in a lot of things, as most teenagers are, not sure what to do. And I had been pursuing being in sort of the environmental field, I guess. But when I was growing up, I had this other kind of part of my family that I was not really a participant in. My grandfather had started a bluegrass festival, and I always watched from afar. So I got to see it, but I never was really a participant in that. I didn't grow up playing in bands or anything like that. And then when I was 19 years old, all of that changed because my grandfather passed away. He had a really wonderful long life. And the legacy that he left behind was this festival and a band that he started, a bluegrass band. And he had started all this in the like final chapter of his life, like the last 15 years of his life, all of this came to fruition, which was cool. And he left it behind for us. So that's how I got started.
Very cool. Now we know you have some ranching background. Tell us about that. I'm very intrigued.
Yeah. Well, I grew up riding horses. I rode since I was four. I did like competitive horseback riding, which most people don't want to hear about. It's pretty boring, but not a cool origin story. But the love of horses was a wonderful thing. Getting to spend my time. I even went to a high school where I got to have my own horse at school and take
Oh.
care of my horse, which was a cool thing. But then when I was in getting interested in what my career was going to be, I was into environmental science, and there's this sort of niche field in environmental science that's rangeland management, it's called. And it was really exploding at the time. Yeah, it's a very interesting niche. It's like we've got our own subculture of sustainable ranching, and I was really interested in it. It was compelling to me. And so I spent about 10 years working on my family's ranch, learning about that, it's not a pastime, vocation. And, I don't really do it much anymore. I think I know a little bit, and maybe I'll get back to it one day. Who knows?
Okay, how did that segue into music?
So, there's a really interesting path between ranching and music. There's obviously our folk music traditions that we have from the United States, from Appalachia. We have so many interesting traditions, but one of the more, I would say, niche and small traditions we have is cowboy music, cowboy poetry. And so when I was kind of figuring out what I was wanting to do with my life, like I said, I was getting into music, I was getting into ranching, I had these two forks that I was kind of straddling. I happened to be driving across the country by myself before Google Maps was so useful. I'll note, which I'm happy of. I honestly think it was good for us. But anyways, it was kind of before we had all these smartphones to figure everything out. And I just pulled up to this town of Elko one day, and I was like, oh, Western Folklife Center. That sounds interesting. I'm interested in folklife. And I encountered this museum and this institution that was all about celebrating the folk culture of rural ranching people. And I think that just really made me interested in trying to create songs, writing original music that was tied to this, I don't know, lifestyle, vocation, whatever you want to call it.
Love it. And so that informs the new album, which is the next question. Tell us about the new album.
So I have made a number of albums, kind of, been around the block, so to speak. I've been putting out records for about 10 years now. And I was working on a new record. The previous record I had done was called Desert Pavement, and it was very much more literally about living on the farm. And the one before that was called Songs of the Sonoma Mountain. So they were really albums that were derived from this experience I had living on my family's ranch and living with the animals and having more friends that were horses and calves than people. And then, which is kind of silly, but and then I had a transition where I moved away from the ranch. I kind of started to forge my own path. And at the same time, I was also working on a documentary project about Lucinda Williams. And I had learned about the importance of, having a back, sort of like a regional writing background, which I felt that I had, but also the influence of poetry on songwriting. And I got really interested in becoming a better songwriter and writing from this place of a poetic eye, I guess. And that's really what informed the album for me.
Awesome. I also adore horses, so I totally get it. And pretty much any
Any animal.
animals.
Me too.
Tell us how you see a song from start to finish. What is your writing process?
Yeah, especially with looking at it through the poetic eye.
I mean, I think that when you introduce poetry, it does change the process. It used to be that I would write usually a melody and then come up with some words. I would have some kind of concept written up in my journal, and I would try to pair the concept with the melody and vibe it out, and keep working on the song. But what I really wanted to do with writing and learning how to write better poetry was to kind of break down the walls of like the limitations that we have as songwriters. Most of the time you have to rhyme, it has to sound right. You're careful about using certain words, and especially if you come from folk Americana music, You have a certain language, like certain words are just weird to say. Like you don't really say like computer or you don't say email, There's certain things that there's a aesthetic choices, right? And so I had had that background, but I guess what I'm saying is that when I started doing poetry, the great thing about writing a poem is none of those rules apply. Poetry is a very open-ended art form. Any good poetry teacher will not tell you that there are rules that have to be followed. Even line breaks isn't a rule. And so what I was able to do is write a number of poems that allowed me to break out of this, cage that's kind of forced upon a songwriter and explore new ideas and become a better writer. And so instead of starting with exclusively with a melody and an idea, all of a sudden my songwriting process, I could start with a poem that I had written and I had broken all the songwriting rules, and then I can reel it back in, and write something that works for a song.
And that's an awesome perspective.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7, that's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
Do you find yourself now like writing more poetry than you ever did before? Like, do you start always that way, or do you feel like you kind of work on the song sometimes on the poetry, and then kind of meld them together?
That's a great question. So, interestingly, because of being able to write a few poems and no longer just being limited to being a songwriter, I actually became interested in trying to write other things like essays or stories. I'm not saying I'm any good at it or that I've tried all that hard, but that's kind of where my heart is. Like, even the thing about poetry and songwriting is they're wonderful art forms, but they're also so limiting because you can't tell a whole, well, you can kind of tell a whole story, but there's a lot more you can say if you write a story. So I've become interested in those art forms too. But I would say what's actually interested me recently, and it's probably because I just keep changing my strategy of writing to keep it interesting, but I've been more interested in rewriting folk songs with piecing together the older lyrics, because I think before, when you're starting out as a songwriter, you guys know, the hardest thing to write is a simple song with straightforward words, and the hardest thing to do is write like a basic folk song or a basic love poem or something like that. That's always the most challenging for most people. But now that I've written so many songs and made albums, I feel more comfortable going back and appreciating the simpler folk words and seeing the beauty and what I can carve out with those, now that I have the confidence of knowing I can write like a weird original sounding song.
How do you set those to music? And what
So,
instrument do you play? I always have to ask that.
yeah, I mostly play guitar. I started kind of with bluegrass and it was really into fingerstyle guitar. And the kind of the with folk songs, that's a good question. Folk songs, so what I've been doing recently, and I'm getting deep into the craft part because I know that's what you guys are really into, is folk songs are not written by one person, the sort of like real folk songs, and they're written by a culture in a way and changed over time. And the melodies aren't, you can stick to them, but you don't have to. And this is the biggest thing that happened for me in the last couple of years with folk music is like, I was like, I feel weird taking Bob Dylan's version of like a folk song and then trying to reinterpret it. It just didn't feel right to me. Like, I felt like wrong and like I wasn't gonna, there's nothing interesting about that in terms of my creativity. But now that I can see and appreciate the simplicity of the folk songs and go back and modify them in my way instead of modifying them in somebody else's way, I think that I can really, what I'd really like to do is pull little snippets of melodies and little snippets of words that I like, almost collaging things together.
That's a great way
It
to
is.
explain it. It makes it like almost like a puzzle that you put together. I love that. And I get what you're saying about not wanting to take like how Bob Dylan did it, because it almost feels like stealing from him, you know?
Instead of a reinterpretation. Which
Making it
is,
your own. Yeah, I love that.
me too.
Okay, so now we know you have this amazing album coming out. What's next on the horizon? Are you touring with the album or planning anything that way?
So, I did this big tour with Finding Lucinda, the documentary, and the podcast. And that was the first time I ever did like a national tour, like headlining, quote unquote. I mean, that's such a weird word, but I got to put on my own shows and I learned so much and I had a very informative, challenging experience. And I was ready to approach putting out this album, Half Truth, with like, I'm going to do it my way. I don't have anything to prove. I want to do a better job at the individual performances that I'm doing. And so I've been doing fewer, but I have been touring and I have been, making videos of the songs. And also, I think the most exciting show is going to be I've been putting on this music festival where I live. It's a very small little kind of community folk festival. And we're going to be performing Half Truth, the album, at the music festival. And it's going to be the date of the week of the release. And so I see that as like my community. I think a lot of artists, you kind of feel like the most important, step when you put out a project is like share it with your real community and know that that's sort of the most substantive, deep, show you get to do for the most part. So that's what I'm going to do in June. And that should be, I don't know, fun.
That's right around the corner.
Yes, and tell us the name of the festival.
It's called Woolly Star. It has two O's and two L's, and it's named after a flower.
Oh, cool. Now,
Aww.
is this the festival that your grandfather started, or is it something totally different?
It's totally different. Basically, because of my grandpa, my family's business, he was an investment banker, but he got into music later in life and then kind of made the family business. Instead of all of his grandchildren becoming investment bankers, they all became artists and musicians and starting their own
Awesome.
music festivals. So now music festivals are kind of the family business. And so I had put on some events. I've learned so much about producing events. And it's something I'm interested almost more as like a craft. It's sort of funny. It's putting on events is such an art. It's such a craft, I would say. And I'm always fascinated with all the moving pieces of why events do or don't work. And so, that family business just inspired me to start my own event. And I also think giving other people the opportunity to share their work. There's so many great artists out there and audiences that need high quality work. And it's just cool to get to, I don't know, present something and I do it exactly the way I want to do
Yeah, that's
it. That's
fantastic.
great. That is.
Absolutely. We in the audience definitely need it right now.
Yep.
What usually sparks a new song for you? Is it, do you find yourself like, using nature? Or I know we talked about the ranch was for a little bit, but what other things inspire you?
I think to me, I recently was in a writing class and I was asking the teacher, I said, what do you like? How do you get yourself interested in writing? Like, once you've been writing for a long time, sometimes you just get a mental block or you just aren't inspired because you kind of squeezed all the juice out of the lemon, it seems. But what she said, which was so helpful, is she was like, what makes me want to write is reading something really good. So to me, reading is an inspiring way to think about writing. I love reading and I've done it a lot more recently. And I think I am trying to be like in a mode right now where because I've worked on this album, Half Truth, and I felt really good about the what I put into it, trying to just like let go and let it come when it comes. 'Cause I think like, our writing voices, it's so important to work hard at it. And there's some people who can't even get one song out. And I would tell them, write more songs. But for those of us that have written song after song after song, I think sometimes letting yourself breathe and letting you remember who you are and find your interests in these weird little corners of the world can help us become more ourselves as writers and not having to do it all the time. When I started out, it used to be like I was so bursting at the seams with a need to be heard, you know, that like I was writing all the time. And now I feel a little bit more like waiting to hear what the next thing I have to say is. I'm okay with that for now.
Yeah, that brings me to the question, how would you say your music has evolved since you started?
You know, when I started out, I always felt like I don't care about being really good at the start. That's not my goal. My goal isn't to prove to everybody that I'm so talented, I don't need to try. My goal was always, I want to always keep getting better. And better is a weird word, but I wanted to become a better songwriter always and not let my ego get in the way of doing that and not trying to go out and prove something. And so I think that my writing over the years has gotten probably riskier. It's gotten more honest, for sure. It's gotten more honest with the side of myself that probably people who talk to me wouldn't know is there. You know, so, right? It's like, I think when we write, oftentimes we get an opportunity to share that voice that we have that we otherwise can't figure out how to say what we want to say. And so I think I've gotten better at that. And I think, yeah, I think taking risks is really important, because it allows you to see what is possible, who you are as a writer and who you aren't. And that's okay too.
Hey, musicians, are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at summerleephoto. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
Well, you mentioned taking some classes in, writing and things like that. Did you go to school for music? Did you take classes in like learning to play and writing songs and singing and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky when I was growing up. I went to an awesome school where everybody was encouraged to play music. I was really lucky to have really great music programs. And then over time, I was sort of one of those musicians that was like, oh, I didn't exactly get the part in the musical, that kind of thing. Like, it wasn't like people liked what I did, but it was never like, oh, you're destined for something. I don't know. So I think that over time, I think that I don't think I'm answering your question. I'm kind of going off on another thought. I'm sorry. But I think over time, I think allowing things to develop over time, musically speaking, in terms of playing instruments, has allowed me to find the pieces of it that I like. And like I said, I'm the type of personality where it takes me a while to get in touch, like, oh, wait, that is what I think, or oh, that is how I feel. Because, a lot of us are worried about making other people happy or not upsetting other people. And it's a good quality to have, but it also makes it just you have to sit a lot longer to find your own voice, to find your own interests. And that's just taken me a while to find and sort out. I don't know if I answered your question. You can ask it again.
I think you did. And you said how you kind of
That
took
makes
classes and things.
so much sense too,
Yeah,
what you're saying.
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Should we do our rapid fire?
We should.
All right. Are
Oh,
you ready for this?
yeah.
It's not
Not
hard. All right. Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee all day.
Vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming?
Vinyl.
First album you ever bought?
Brandy. It was a CD at Tower Records, and I can't remember what the title was.
It. What's your, do you have a go-to karaoke song?
So I was on a TV show a couple years ago, and they asked me for a karaoke song, and I never got to sing it. But the song was going to be Dancing Queen.
Oh, fun.
Gosh. Yeah.
That's awesome. Do you like writing songs in the morning or in the evening?
I would say morning.
Yeah.
Do you write lyrics on paper, phone notes, or voice memos?
Voice, not voice phones, sorry. Phone notes and paper.
Do you have a pre-show pump-up song?
I usually my pre-show, I don't have a pre-show pump-up song, but I do usually eat a lot of food.
So you're not one of those people who gets nervous beforehand and can't eat anything. You eat because you're nervous.
I eat because I'm nervous. When I'm at a party and I'm really worried about people will think of me, I just go nuts on the snack section. It's not always good.
I just find their pets. So I can.
Nice.
Oh, speaking of pets, dogs, cats, fish, or birds, or
I
reptiles.
love my dog so much, but I did see a bird in the pet store the other day and it was just so beautiful. I wish I could have a bird.
Do you still have horses?
I do have one horse, yes.
Yay.
I do
Okay.
love horses.
Oh, okay. Describe your sound in three words.
Contemplative. Ethereal, that's what other people tell me. And narrative.
Well, very nice. Okay, what advice would you give to other or new singers, song, not singers, songwriters or musicians?
I would say do everything you can to make the process as fun and enjoyable as it can be. Don't worry so much about the outcomes. Getting the feedback that you're amazing will never compensate for an inner sense of peace and will never be better than enjoying doing it for yourself.
Love that. Me too. Perfect. Me too. Great
Will you
advice.
share a song with our listeners and tell us what it is and a little bit about it? Sure. So I think I'm going to share American Flag. And that's the first song off of my next album. I wrote it based on an experience that I had during the pandemic. So I was living on a ranch and I had always been interested in taming and gentling a wild horse. I had worked with wild horses, but never fully untouched wild horses. So in the American West, for those who don't know, there's a bunch of wild slash feral horses. They came from Europe and they've been here for hundreds of years, but now there's a bunch of wild ones and they're protected. But there's so many in the wild that the government gathers them up and then they need somewhere to go. And so you can adopt a horse. And I was on this adoption website and I saw the most beautiful horse I'd seen in my entire life. She was a paint. She had a blue eye and a brown eye. And I was just completely taken with this horse. And so I brought her home with me and worked with her for weeks and weeks. And my vision when I got this horse is like, she's going to be a rodeo horse. She's going to ride around with the flag because I'm telling you, everybody says that their dog is the cutest, but this horse is absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely.
She is, she's, she, and the paint, for those of you who know horses, she's not like a paint where it's the typical paint where it's really dark black and really light white. Her dark color is almost brown, roanish color. It's very unusual. And so I was like, wow, she would be at the rodeo riding around the ring with the flag, and everybody would be amazed. Well, what ended up happening was that I worked with this horse who was really struggling. I eventually got her to allow me to touch her mane and help her out a little bit, but it was clear I was in over my head. And so I sent this horse to some really great trainers who specialize in training Mustangs. She's a Mustang. And they worked with her for months and months and months. And I was hopeful that they could make progress with her. But what they found is even though they were able to handle her and help her out, she just like mentally resisted being amongst people. There's horses that take to being amongst people and horses that just like, I don't get it and I'll never get it. And they felt and they recommended that she be turned out again because, she just was never comfortable around people. It's not really safe to work with horses like that, and certainly not enjoyable for them. And there's so many things you have to do with a domesticated horse that it's super important that they're easy to handle. And she just could never get there mentally. So this horse ended up getting turned out into their back 40 and getting to go back out and live kind of on the pasture, a little bit more of a domesticated life. You know, she still gets fed and she is still under the wonderful care of someone. But that whole experience taught me that you can put expectations on others, and particularly people do this with kids, their own kids and animals. And it's okay. We all have expectations, but there is a point in which you need to let go and see the creature for what it is. And that's what American Flag is about.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
goosebumps.
That's
I love
amazing.
that.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes, absolutely.
Supposed to wave in a
time for your shameless plug. Where can we find your music? Where can we find your social media, your if you have Bandcamp or Patreon or website, any of that kind of stuff?
So the best way to find things is to just go to ismaymusic.com. Ismay is spelled ISMAY. And the other place to go to find out about buying albums and what I'm up to, I've started a new record label project with my friend Margot Silker, and it's called Fossil Records. So we're both putting our albums out as well as Kevin Carducci and Forrest Van Tyle. So if you go to fossilrecordsco.com, that's a great thing to do. And just check out what we're up to.
I love that.
Me too. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight.
So fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love how grounded you are and how.
It was really fun talking to you guys.
I can't help but think that Avery is an old soul. Absolutely. They are just so easy to talk to. They seem so grounded in who they are.
Yes.
Which
is really rare. I mean, especially in this day and age. And I was just very impressed.
Well, and they are horses, so you can't go wrong there.
Right. And all animals, of course.
That's right. And it's so neat that their album is coming out in just a month. And I look forward to hearing that.
Yes. And I was so excited to hear about Lee's poetry and turn that into songs. So we all know that I love poetry. So it was very cool. So Avery, it was fabulous to meet you. And we hope that you can get a lot of rest up. And we'll see you down the road. Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.